Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Dreadful Dialogue, a podcast where we chat about all things horror. I'm your host, Elise, and today with me, as always, is my co-host, Kristen.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm very excited. This is going
to be fun. Yeah, we're doing an epic movie. I love this movie. We're chatting about the 2022 sci-fi horror Nope. I'm going to warn you guys right from the top. This movie is a very long movie, so we might end up going a little long on this episode. So we hope you stick with us for the whole thing.
Yeah. It'll be worth it. I promise. I promise. So do you have a synopsis?
I do. So Nope is a genre-bonding neo-Western sci-fi horror centered on the siblings OJ and Emerald Haywood. They run a Hollywood horse ranch in a remote California valley. After their father's mysterious death, they discover a predatory extraterrestrial hiding in the clouds above their property. Rather than fleeing, the siblings attempt to capture photographic evidence of the creature to secure their financial future and family legacy.
I mean, genius, wouldn't you?
isn't everybody trying to make, aren't we right? All make the American dream and make it big, like...
You know, right.
I need more people to listen to this podcast so I can make an honest.
You know, come on, y'all. But honestly, though, this movie is so brilliant. Jordan Peele, I love him so much. I know that probably sounds so weird because I don't know him personally, but I've always really liked him. I watch Key and Peele a lot. and then when he started, like, you know, getting into film writing and things like that, I was just like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what a multi-talented person.
Yeah. His comedy chops were great. There was all of his stuff was great. All of his skits. But then, like, to go this opposite where he's doing more. I mean, these are like all of his horror movies anyway are like they're like dramas. I mean, there's comedic elements. Don't get me wrong. But it's not just like in your face comedy. I mean. I love it. I'm so impressed with all of his movies and his three big ones. This is my favorite one. I think Get Out has a great message. I think Us has some fun messaging behind it. But this one has like so much to it, which is, again, why I think we'll probably talk a lot about it. Because it's rewatchable and there's hidden meanings. And the more you watch it, you think about things. And I ponder things and I keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it.
And it's funny.
A good movie does that.
And it's funny you bring that up because this morning I was thinking about how different movies are today versus when we cover the 80s or the 90s movies that are very straight and direct to the point where these, especially this film, there's a lot of symbolism and like, it really allows you to have like, these really deep thoughts and like all these different perspectives. I really love that. I love how movies have evolved, should say.
Yeah. I mean, because there was movies like that in the past, but now I think because of social media and podcasts and Reddit and message boards and different things that people can find, like we're finding even more ways to discuss them. Whereas in the past, it was just like maybe you watched like somebody and they talked a little bit about the movie before, or maybe some articles. But I mean, like full on, like we're having a live, well, it's not live, but you know, it's life for us, but not life for the listeners. Conversation, the way you can engage. I mean, this is a perfect movie for that sort of thing.
I agree. Can we talk about this cast real quick? It is epic.
Very.
First of all, Daniel Kaluuya. Wow. I love him. Yeah. He's a legend. Kiki Palmer. Ooh. Gorgeous.
Yes.
I read she got to like wing most of her lines. Like she was just like coming up with them on the fly. Jordan Peele loved that about her. We have Steven Yeun. I loved The Walking Dead so much until they killed him.
I was just going to say the man whose death in The Walking Dead is the character Glenn single-handedly lowered the viewership of that show. I fell off not too long after that. Me and Paul, we kind of fell off the show because of that.
Same.
He's great in Mayhem. I just watched a good YouTube short about him. There's so much stuff about him. That's great.
Do you know on YouTube that you can find videos of him when he was really like in his early 20s playing acoustic guitar and singing Ray LaMontagne songs?
Oh my gosh. No. Okay.
Yeah, he has a really nice voice. We love Steven Yeun. My oldest son looks up to him a lot, which is so nice. Like, my kids are half Korean, so yeah. I love that they have that kind of like role model in like the business. We have Michael Wincott. He's antlers.
He's a character.
He's something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I said he's a character. No.
Oh, okay.
Literally, like, he, I love his role. Even though he's a small role, there's things, I got little snippets about him. I think I caught that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, small but mighty is how I like to think about his character. We have Brandon, is it Perea?
I think it's Perea.
Okay, Perea, Angel Torres. We have Ren Schmidt as Amber Park. Barbie Ferreira. I love her. She's in Euphoria.
Yeah.
She plays Nessie. She's very, like, meh in this movie. Like, I love her personality. She does not care.
I heard she was supposed to have a bigger role, but they didn't use as many of her scenes.
Oh, maybe that's why she seems so flat.
And
in
that
this
they were
going to
kill
right?
off Angel, and they didn't, I guess, because they found him.
Yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
I think he argued, like, no, I should live.
Yeah. I don't blame him. I really like his character. Moving on, there's a lot of people in this movie. I'm so sorry. We have Terry Notary as Gordy, Devin Gray as Ryder, Donna as Bonnie. Osgood Perkins as Finn, Eddie Jemison as Buster, Keith David as Otis Hayward Sr.
The man.
He's something else, right?
Poor king right there.
Yeah. Sophia Cotto as Mary Jo, Jennifer LaFleur as Phyllis, and Andrew Patrick Ralston as Tom.
Yeah, so some of the characters.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, do you know who Osgood Perkins is?
Yes.
He's the one playing, he's got the small part as the director. He's a director in real life.
He's a director in real life, yeah.
Yeah. The monkey, and he's Anthony Perkins' son from Psycho.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, whatchamacallit, when I saw that he was playing a director, I was like, Jordan Peele, you're so smart.
I didn't notice that the first time I watched it. I don't think I knew who Osgood Perkins was. I wasn't familiar
until
with
now.
Until later. I read the name and I go, I know that name. And then I looked it up and I knew he was a director, but I didn't know. I was like, oh shit, he's Anthony Perkins' son. Yeah. And then Donna Mills is like a classic from like Knott's Landing.
Oh my gosh.
Jam. I used to watch those
soap operas
with her.
Yes. Yes.
My grandma too. Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing cast, a lot of cool people. There's one fun fact I'd like to start off with because we're going to start with Gordy. But real quick, I wanted to let our audience know that Nope is one of the few films to use IMAX cameras for extended sequences, especially for the sky shots. So, like, the cinematographer is the same one that works on Interstellar. Have you ever watched Interstellar?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the same cinematographer. So I really thought that was cool. And then, like, when you compare Interstellar to, like, this movie, I'm like, I could see it now. You know?
I didn't know that.
I thought that was cool.
You need to know.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with the Gordy incident because we both feel like it has such a deep meaning, and it really paves the way for the rest of the movie.
I think so.
So,
yeah, it's important.
Right. So Steven Yeun's character, Jupe, he is a child actor, and he is on this sitcom called Gordy's Home. And Gordy is a trained chimp named Gordy, and so everything's like going well, you know, the audience is there, they're laughing, ha ha ha, he he he. And next thing you know, Gordy snaps and like kills people, like the cast.
He's
not
a chip,
everybody.
He goes ape shit.
Right. Right. So little Jupe, I think his name's Ricky, right?
Ricky Park, but he goes by
Ricky
Jupe
Park
because he was also in another, as a child actor, he was also on another show, and I think his name was Jupe.
Yeah.
So he goes, and as an adult, he uses that as like his stage name and for
right,
the public.
Right.
Jupe, Jupiter.
Yeah. Right. So Ricky Jupe is hiding underneath a table, and he sees all this go down. Like, we're talking, he's a kid. He's probably, what, 9 the most?
Yeah.
I think. So this is really, really traumatizing, but it also gives him this confidence that he, you know, oh, I survived this. I could do anything. And I can capture these amazing moments because I survived the Gordy attack.
Yeah, because he killed, I think, at least 1 or 2 people, right? Quote unquote, the sitcom mom. He brutally, find out later, like disfigured his TV sister. And then I think it's the TV dad, right? I think, is that Tom? That ends up shooting. Yeah. And it's sad when they shoot him because it's almost like he snapped and then he snapped back out of it because he could kind of like they kind of made him look sad again. It made me kind of think of the Tiger attack with the Mirage guys in Las Vegas.
Siegfried and Roy.
I mean, Roy says that his manticore, his trained tiger, was trying to protect him because he thought he was having a heart attack or something. Right. And there's been instances, I don't know how real they are, where I've read about like that there might have been some sort of primates that did this that, you know, they for a moment like almost forget. And then they're like, oh, wait, like, where are you okay? Like they're checking on their humans because they're their friends. Yeah, this whole thing was scary. And then the shoe thing, I think the shoe standing up, I think added to Juke's belief in like, he had control over things because the fact is he's the one that not only does he survive, he's not attacked either, right? Like right as Gordy's not kind of come back to being himself and he's going to do a fist bump with him, that's when they shoot him.
So
he feels exceptional, I think, because of this.
Exactly. And I, like, my heart sunk when little Ricky was going for the bump and, like, poor Gordy. Like, oh. But that feeds into like this whole purpose of this movie about how our culture just we'll get into it. So this subplot is super unsettling. I feel like it's the scariest part of the movie, honestly. So even though it's separate from the main plot, do you like this part? Like, meaning, do you think it adds to the movie?
Yeah, it definitely does, because if Jupe was not a part of this Gordy attack, I don't think he would have taken the same actions that he takes later when he and his family encounter, which I don't know what we're going to call it, the extraterrestrial, the alien, the cloud. We'll probably be interchanging for now. I'm just going to try to stick with the alien. Encounters this alien, that dictates a lot of his behavior of how he interacts with the alien and brings the downfall of himself and affects the Haywood family. I mean, first with the dad and then everything else that they do on their ranch to survive and capture the shot.
Right. So now that we got that out of the way, because this is really setting up the theme of the movie. So the opening is like we see, what is it? OJ Senior.
OJ Senior. Keith David. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's on the horse. Is he on the horse or leading the horse?
He's training the horse because in a callback that I didn't catch because I watched this once and then I watched it again. And then I probably watched it like 3 times for this episode, which I never do that many rewatches, but there's so much to get. He's training the horse because he's Italian and banged or something. And he even gets the horse to go down to his legs so that he can get onto the horse without like picking himself onto the horse. I don't know. I'm not a cowgirl. Clearly throwing himself onto the horse. Like, I don't know the proper terminology.
I don't know either.
He's training it. He's even trained the horse to sit down, essentially, so that he can just get onto the horse and it can raise, which would make sense if these are horses that perform in Hollywood. You might have people that are only going to be on it for a moment and they're not horse trained. They're not, you know, they can grow up with horses. So I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be freaked out.
Me too. So, like, this is their whole family business. Like, they're racking in the dough, which, you know, good for them. They have this whole big ranch. So Otis is like doing his horse thing, and these metal objects start flying out of the sky.
Yeah,
they like impale him, and it's like regurgitated debris from the quote unquote alien.
Alien, yeah. And I want to pause and say something. I don't know if I would say they were racking in the dough, because the dad was making it sound like they needed to do really well with
their lady. You're right.
I think they were successful. Maybe that'd be the better way. Maybe I don't know if that's the better. They were rich, but they were definitely, I would assume, middle class, like enough that they were sustaining their life, their livelihood. It was a good livelihood.
Right.
I don't know if they were rich, but I think that he had the idea that if this next horse, this next job that the horse was going to be in, if they did well, they were going to make money. Because he was like, let's keep our head out of the clouds, which ties into later. But he was like, because we could go big with this one. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted to point that out. I didn't know if I agreed with, if I didn't know if that.
Like, yeah, they're rolling the dough. You're right, because like they were, I guess because I viewed it as like when he was alive, when Otis Sr. was alive, like they were very successful. Then like OJ takes over, you know, I assume he's the eldest. This probably really isn't his passion, but he's just doing the right thing for his father's legacy and stuff. So he takes over and he brings Lucky, the horse, which I'm not a horse girl. I've never been on one. But let me tell you, I love them on the TikTok. I watch horses all day and goats. Not all day, but anyway, I don't know why. I love it.
Your secrets.
Yes, that's... I'm a farm girl at heart.
I like the aesthetics of cowgirls. I think they're cute, but like, I'm not actually a cowgirl.
No. Mm-mm. The only boots I'm wearing are Docs. But anyway, OJ takes over the ranch. Yeah, so OJ's taking over the ranch and the family biz, and he has Lucky there. I guess it's like their main squeeze of a horse. Is it their only horse? I think. At this point,
it might be one of their few horses they have left.
Yeah.
So what happens, right, is Keith David's character, OJ Sr., dies after all of this stuff. That scene was sad, too. Mm-hmm. He spent such a brief time with the dad, but I felt like I felt that character. I felt like his legacy stuck around. I kind of feel like Em retreated and left the, I don't know if she was at the ranch anyway, but it felt like she really wasn't coming around the ranch much anyway.
Right.
And then she really didn't come around. She really didn't come around. And I felt like, I think OJ would have taken over the ranch regardless. I think that was his jam. I think it was just sad. You could feel the love between them. And they had kind of like almost like their love was different. The way he had the dad, like it was like a tough love maybe.
Yeah.
The way he had the dad as the dad's dying, because he puts him into a truck to rush into the hospital. And he has the dad repeating the names of the horses. He's like, Commodore,
I know.
Lucky. I just felt sad. Like, that part was also traumatizing. Just think that, like, you could be somewhere and, like, at the wrong place at the wrong time type of thing. Like,
no,
at the right
kidding.
Time, I mean, sorry. Wrong place at the right time, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. And that was really sad. And I feel like that's when you really see, like, just how valued OJ Jr. is, and like how he's an emotional character, but he doesn't always show it outwardly. That's what I'm trying to explain. Like, he takes on a lot, but he keeps it a very calm front, where Emerald, his sister, is the opposite.
I love her.
Where she has that chaotic energy, but we'll get to her. So OJ, you know, he has Lucky at this like casting call, I guess. And he tells the director, I think it's the director of camera, whatever. Don't look in his eyes.
Yeah, because they're futzing around with the horse. They're touching it. They're doing things. And he's like, you guys can't do this. You need to wait for the safety briefing. He's basically telling them like, I understand the horses and you guys don't. I mean, it's like. Go into the zoo. You don't climb behind the cage. You don't do nothing. You stay behind and you watch safely, because you are not the expert.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, that starts getting you thinking, don't look at it, huh?
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. Lucky, he's not having it. He's like, no, thank you. He kind of flips out. So we kind of... see, OJ's a little defeated. And going back to OJ, that name is intentional, by the way.
Yes, I have a lot to say about
it. Do you want to talk about it real quick, since we're getting into his character?
I guess I can. I don't know. Or it might be skipping ahead a little, but...
Okay. Well, we don't have to if you're not ready to.
After we I think it'd be really cool to talk about his name when we get after we get to Jupe.
Yeah, because we're going to be moving on to Jupe and his.
But remember, we're going to remember, listeners, that name OJ is intentional.
Yes, yes. So, you know, poor Otis, Otis Jr., OJ, he's on the struggle bus and he's really going through it. And we meet Emerald, right? So Emerald's his sister, as Elise said, she left and she came back. And she's definitely living her own life, but you can tell she has love for her brother. And she, you know, the death of their father has affected her, but she's kind of like a free spirit, really. She gives youngest kid vibes to me. You know, where she's just like, yeah, well, whatever. It is what it is, kind of thing. Because I think at this point, the financial struggles are happening for the ranch. And OJ starts selling his horses.
Yeah, because Lucky loses this job. Lucky doesn't
get the job. Yeah, Lucky does not get the job.
Lucky kicks Donna Mills in the face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
they're not listening. They're trying to do makeup and hurry up and start the scene. And M had came in and M is trying to like give the history of their company. She tells a great story about the opening. I don't know what you call that, like the crayon, the opening credits.
Yeah.
And so they don't get the job, but we do find out M is very ambitious. She does motorcycle acting, craft service. She does all these things. So they go back to the ranch to go have some bonding. And so
she's definitely a free spirit for sure. So OJ starts selling horses to Jupe, and Jupe has this really crazy
theme park
because it's like all about, it's like horses meets extraterrestrial meets almost like a circus. I don't know, like it's
like a mining, I think, and like kind of like a cowboy saloon type vibe
too. Right,
a few of those out in California. They're just not as popular anymore.
Oh, okay. So this is called Jupiter's Claim, which I thought that was a pretty neat name.
Yeah, like when you stake your claim during the gold rush, right?
They
call it their claim. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a really cool callback to that because, like, it's like, well, Jupe is successful, but poor OJ is not. You know what I mean? So I could see that. Jupe is very charismatic. He's putting on a show. He's having the audience ooh and ah. You know what I mean? Like, he has them locked in. And I just thought it was so interesting how he, like, will turn it on and then he's like, well, you know, I'm gonna secretly feed some of these horses to this creature as part of my show.
Yeah,
that was disturbing.
Yeah, so he's been planning that. We don't know that at first.
Right. Because he wants to have like the shock factor. Like that's how he feels like he needs to keep pushing it and pushing it. He survived Gordy. He got through all of this. Let me keep pushing it. So. With that being said, do you think because of like all the trauma Jupe went through, this really gave him this false confidence? But do you think he ever felt like maybe this is wrong?
I don't think he did. If he did, he could have, it also could have been his version of like, instead of keeping his legacy and keeping his family alive and afloat, because you have on the opposite end, they're selling the Haywoods. OJ Jr. is selling off horses. He's the opposite. He's like, I'm a child star. Like, I have this thing I can make money off of. Like,
right.
He's clearly not working in Hollywood. He's out in Agua Dulce, in off in the California desert, which, you know, it's a couple hours I've driven to. By the way, it's beautiful, that part. California, it's just open land. California has so much diversity in it in terms of geography. It's an area where you're just like, wow, like the mountains are beautiful and stuff. Anyway, but I think part of it is it's just like it could be. I think there's only a small part of him that thinks it's wrong, and he probably pushes it down. I think he thinks he's invincible. He uses the word spectacle over and over. He's gonna show them a spectacle. He survived the spectacle. He could be doing it for numerous reasons. He could be doing it because he likes being in the limelight. He can mm-hmm. It's money, and it's going to make more money for them. It could keep his name out there, keep popularity. It could keep his ranch surviving. I don't know. I think he only smallly thought it was wrong because he had the audacity to feed this thing for like 6 months. Every Friday, he says.
Right. Every Friday. I was like, what the hell?
And it took me a while to figure that out. Again, I didn't catch that on my first.
On the first.
Watch.
Yeah.
My second watch, I think I caught it.
Yeah, yeah. And even when I was watching it, I watched it again last night and I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, it all starts clicking together.
Yeah.
So Emerald, she's like, dang, I want my big moment. And I guess OJ was kind of for it, but at the same time, I feel like she was kind of like stringing him, like, come on, let's do this. Wanted
to
make
money. I mean, they start to figure out that there's this alien because they start smoking hobby weed and they're hanging out. The hobby weed. I had to look up, I'm like, even though I live in California, I'm all hobby weed because you're allowed to grow so much in California and smoke
right
for your own personal consumption. And that's when they start to come up. They don't come out and say it, but they insinuate there's an alien that's been hanging out. And I think she's like, dude, we can get paid. Like I saw,
yeah.
I don't know if it's YouTube. I don't think they come out and say YouTube. They say
no, but it looks like it, right?
Yeah. I think maybe they didn't have permission to say it, but they're basically like, somebody will pay us some big money or a big media company if we have evidence. So she sees it as money. He's like, she has to convince
him. All right.
Plus, they got to spend money to make money because they got to go get cameras and stuff. So,
right. So they're like, you know, this could be our big shot. So they head over to like this Best Buy-esque.
Oh, it's real. There used to be Fry's Electronics.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. my gosh.
That one's really filmed in Burbank, California. They're all themed, all the Fry's. There's one that's like a Mayan theme. There's a cowboy theme. That one used to be in Burbank. And from what I understand, they had to bring in, it had recently closed within a year or two. So they brought all the stuff back in. But Fry's Electronics were the shit. Like, they were good. They were good. I only went to one once. But there was a big one in San Diego that Paul used to go to. And he's like, I miss it. Like, he's like, it was better than Fry's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I bet.
So they go to Fry's Electronics.
Yeah. And we meet the lovely Angel Torres. And he sells them like, I don't know. It's like this whole security camera system.
He's hilarious. And
he is so funny. He's like, I know you guys need help setting this up, don't you?
You're able to set this shit up on your own. You guys aren't techie.
Yeah.
That'd be me. I'm like, no, I can't.
Right. And you know, M has some like banter with him. And I was like, is something, when I first watched this, I was like, is something going to happen between these two? Because you know, like in most horror movies, there's always like, this weird, no call back to sex or whatever, you know, but no,
she's into women. She's like, I bet she has, what does she say? Something like, I bet she
Nessie
or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. Right.
Or she's talking about her therapist. I have a therapist. She's like, that I like basically she insinuates.
Yeah.
She's banging a therapist.
She's banging her therapist.
And she's telling like, maybe it's not her official therapist, but she's using this person to also be a therapist. She's on a budget.
Exactly. That cracked me up. Much. And I just love Keke Palmer.
But her and Angel, I think you think they could be flirty, but I think they're fine.
Right.
Like they're buddy. Like they have like a buddy. Yes. Like when they're playing later with the VR sets.
Yeah. When they were doing the VR, I was like, this is like watching my kids.
Yeah. Know? They're like two gamer buddies having a good time. Yeah.
Right. So they're like, no, we don't need your help. Right. So they go back and like, he shows up at their house and they're like, why do you know where we live?
Well, basically, I think once he figures it out, like, which I find funny. I'm like, what are the coincidences that he's like this alien nerd and they're
right
trying to capture an alien? And he's like, well, the only thing that could happen is if like they go into detail about cameras and cell phones losing power.
Right.
Cell phones can't lose power when the power goes down. And he's like, unless you're in like a hole for an area for alien activity. And he's like, wait a minute. And that's what he's like. Yeah, he shows up and he's like, it's going to take me a long time. Like he's like unhappy to be there because his girlfriend broke up with him because she got a CW show. So, that's such a, That's such a like LA story. Like my girlfriend so left me because she got a part. So right up, she's moving on.
You know, she's booked and busy. She doesn't have time for Angel anymore. So he's like,
he has to go put these cameras up, and he's probably not going to get paid well for it.
Right.
He's like, leave me 5-star review.
I know that made me laugh.
They're like, when they call for my review, M's like 5 stars.
5 stars only. Because they're just like, you know, they're like,
they don't become buddies initially, in other words.
Right. Right.
Become buddies. It's great. Yeah.
Because she's so annoyed by him, you know, like she's just like, come on, leave us alone. We don't want you a part of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So they get all this stuff set up. And I wanted to ask, like, how is quote unquote watching or looking used as both power and danger in this film? Because they really get into that where the characters are obsessed, basically obsessed with the spectacle.
Yeah, that's what Jupe calls. Jupe says he's going to show a spectacle. He's calling them. He calls them does he call them the watchers or the lookers? The viewers. He keeps practicing that he's going to eventually have this big star lasso experience is what he's calling his show. He's going to come out and he's practicing in the middle of like a stadium ring and rink stadium circle, empty part. I don't know what you call the middle.
Is it an arena? It's like an arena. I thought it was like
the center of horse.
Yeah.
With stands, right? Grandstand.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to show you a spectacle. For the last 6 months, my family has been, we've been encountering people and I've been feeding it. And basically, he's like, every Friday at 6 p.m., he gives it a horse and he's calling them the viewers. So
the viewers,
he's using the word viewers. They're talking about how that cloud's been, OJ's telling M how he figures it out. He's like, wait a minute, that cloud's been there for six, there's been a cloud for 6 months that's staying there. Because that's what Angel freaks out. Angel's like,
right.
That cloud hasn't moved. I was looking through your footage, which wasn't supposed to be looking, but
he was spying on their camera and they're like, what? Why are you spying on us? You're creepy.
So I think it is, I don't know if it's power, but it's definitely a part of it. And then you think back to the dad at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the dad's like, we can't get caught looking up at the clouds in this one because they need to make money. But it's also like they gotta look up at the clouds to see this thing. Later, OJ doesn't want to look in the horse's eyes. So there's a lot with like looking. Is it power? Is it performance? I don't know. I'm already forgetting your question.
Well, I was, so basically it's like, you know, watching this, is it more dangerous than it is beneficial for the cause, like their cause, you know, being obsessed with things like this?
I think it's bad, but it's human nature, right? Like, what happens when there's an accident? People stare at the accident.
I think,
I'll probably go off. This will probably be long-winded. I mean, people are, as humans, we're fans of things that involve people getting hurt. We watch wrestling. We watch MMA. And when I say we, I don't literally mean everybody. I'm generalizing. I've never understood, like, why would I do something where I literally go into a ring and I'm going to get beat up? But I grew up watching wrestling.
Yeah. So
barely figuring out how terrible it is. Like these football players and kids can start at like 6 or 7 playing and they're hitting. And now I think why like we're pushing flag football at a younger age instead of when we're waiting to high school. Hockey, you go to a hockey game and people start fighting.
Yeah.
They're more into the fight that they go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out. Like, you know, it's like the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm a problem with it myself. I go and watch this stuff. I watch hockey. I'm a football fan person. I went and saw that Paranormal Circuit. I'm freaking out watching the barrel riders. And I'm like, oh my God, one of these people and these trapeze guys, like high wire. I'm like, the high wire walkers. I'm like, they can just fall and die in front of me. And I paid money to see this. And I'm like, and part of me is like, okay, but they train for hours and they're choosing to do this job, but they're doing it for the same reasons that Jupe is probably trying to bring this alien entity in. He knows there's money, there's fame, there's limelight. It's maybe it's an adrenaline rush. That's part of why people do these sports and do these different things, despite the fact that it can cause injury and death. So the spectacle and the fact of people watching what's going on is so important because it's who we are as humans. It's been since the beginning of time we've been this way, right? We had Roman Roman gladiators. We had the people fighting in the fighting against the lions. I mean, that's just wild. Yeah,
I know. And I agree with you. Like, it's human nature and also dangerous at the same time. But you don't think about it until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back, yeah. So they realize this cloud thing is like this living organism. I don't know, it's like UFO. Because
Ricky gets them sucked. He when he actually has a show, all the people get sucked in and all of the stuff. I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead. All of the metal objects.
Yeah, I was going to get to that next.
Okay. Yeah. And that's how we find out what happened to Pops, you know?
Right, right. So they, you know, we realize that it behaves like a predator. It's attacking when you look directly at it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of themes in this where it's like you become addicted to the spectacle. You become addicted to the fame and chasing it. It's not always a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. So Jupe, his show goes wrong, as Elise said.
Mm-hmm.
And like, could you imagine just being there and seeing that? I would poop my pants.
And they do so good with that scene too, because
they do.
They don't actually show us the people being sucked in. We hear their screams.
Yes.
And then we see them late. Like, we never see their faces inside of, they show us the inside of the alien entity and we hear their screams and we kind of see like parts of their body, but we never get like straight up like the gore. Later we get blood dripping out, like when it spits out some of the stuff, but it lets your imagination do all of the work.
Right. Yeah. So the alien's like, you've done pissed me off, man. You won't leave me alone. You keep looking at me.
He fed him a buffet.
Yeah. And it takes Jupe, too.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
I'm like, poor Stephen Yeun. He's really going through it in these roles, but he kind of deserved it in this one. You know?
What did he expect? Like I said, I still think I'm like, the man had the audacity to feed it. And he said that about Gordy when he talks to M earlier in the movie and he's explaining what happened to him. He says that about Gordy. He's like, Gordy just timed out and like.
Right.
And flipped out. That's what this thing did. This thing either timed out and flipped out. Like you said, he was sick of Jupe, or he was like, oh, shoot, buffet time. Look at all these people. Like, what did he expect? He knew he should have, instead he should have been the opposite. He should have known that could have happened. The capability of this entity could have been the same as Gordy, that like it was going to time out and or don't overfeed it.
Like, I think he was like, well, I was feeding it horses, so I'm good. Like he thought he was invincible because he was feeding it horses. Yeah. So, but this, what do they call it? Jean Jacket, right?
Yeah, that's what M and OJ moment, which I want to talk about since we're talking about Jupe and the spectacle.
Yeah.
So I did my own little research and I'm going to assume Jordan Peele did this on purpose. But if you look up Jupiter, you know, in Roman mythology, he's the god of sky and thunder. Mm-hmm. He's the equivalent in Greek gods of Zeus. So again, this just adds to he think he could control the sky, that like a god on earth, so that's part of his name. And then we talked about OJ's name, I believe that's a nod to OJ Simpson, who was famously convicted of killing his ex-wife and her friend. That's sus. I think I'm not gonna get sued. I think most people agree with me. We've talked about him before, right, when we talked about Serial Mom, his famous attempt at fleeing on his Bronco, which is a horse, a vehicle Bronco, but like a horse in real life, a Bronco. His trial was part of pop culture. It was a spectacle. It wasn't it wasn't the first televised trial, but it was one of the first that created such a spectacle that people were obsessed with it. You could catch it during TV. It didn't matter where you changed the channel, like what time of the day, somebody was covering the trial.
Oh, absolutely. It was everywhere.
Did that, and to also kind of make OJ exceptional in his own way, because when he meets Donna Mills, she's like, OJ's your real name? And he's like, yes, Otis Jr. They kind of leave it at that, but like, you knew what she was insinuating, like, why would somebody like name you that? But it's like, the Pops didn't have anything to do with OJ Simpson, but the subtext to all of us as viewers is
right
the spectacle. So I had to go into that whole rant because
I love that.
And then Emerald later, I got some about her name, but let's get back onto your
point. Yeah. So do you think like Jordan Peele is like, what do you think Jordan Peele is trying to say about our obsession with the spectacle and viral fame with all of that? You know, like with the OJ name, with the Jupiter, you know?
I mean, maybe he's trying to teach us a lesson, but we're not going to learn our lesson. I mean,
we could only hope for the best. But
I'm still going to watch football on Sundays. My son wants to go see monster trucks. And like, I'm like, that's scary. I have a, right by my house, we have a track where there's demolition derby. I still enjoy those. And I freak out half of the time. I'm like, oh my God. And like then I have moments. I'm like, what if somebody gets hurt? And yet here I am. And then you talk to these guys and girls that are the ones behind the wheel, and they freaking love it though. Like it's their.
I know.
It's how they cut loose. So I don't know. I'm sure he's telling us to be nicer to the environment, not to trap animals. Yeah. We're doing better, I think. Right? Like animal awareness, environmental awareness. Is everybody embracing it? No, but some people are in different ways. But as a child, I remember I wanted to go watch. I'd see these things about animals, these little sideshow things, and I'd want to go visit them. And now I'm like, oh, that's bad. Like, I'm now very particular about like what places I go. And most circuses have banned animals because of this sort of thing. Because we're realizing they just need to be left alone. So maybe he's trying to teach us a lesson, I'm thinking.
I think so too. And like when this came out, it was peak like TikTok time too. You know, where TikTok was very popular. All these influencers getting famous, and for what? Like what are you famous? It also brings me back to like the Kardashians. I'm like, why are you famous? What do you bring to the table?
For a spectacle. Back to the OJ trial and to the and to her tape. Kim's tape. You know,
Jordan Peele is our dad. You know, like he's he's really trying. He's trying.
Waving the finger at us.
So you know the audience is gone. A lot of the audience is gone. Jupe, gone. And so that was pretty disturbing. I don't think it was like, I wasn't like terrified of it. I was just more mesmerized. Like when you were talking about like the cinematography and how they implied things and things like that. I love that. I feel like this movie should be famous just for the cinematography alone. So I really love that. I was in awe of all of that whole scene. Even if it was disturbing, but
it was fascinating. It was, I mean, I wish this is a movie I wish I would have caught in the movie. I didn't watch it in the movie theaters.
No, me neither.
It would have been beautiful to watch. The setting is beautiful.
Yeah.
The scenes, the things you could catch. Yeah. I regret not. This is one I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah. So we're getting closer to them. When I say them, M, Angel, and OJ, they're like, you know what? We're going to catch this dang thing.
Yeah, we're gonna catch the video or photo.
We're gonna find out what this is. We're gonna get it, and we're gonna make our money, and we're gonna save this ranch or whatever. So that leads me to our dear friend Antlers.
He's hilarious.
He kind of reminds me of like your drunk uncle at a wedding. I don't know what he gives off that vibe where you're just like. Uncle Antlers is at it again. He's
his name is wild too. Antlers.
Antlers.
Like, yeah.
I was trying to figure out, is there some kind of like meaning towards
I thought about it antler? and then I ran out of time to think about it. I'm sure because an ant, you're trying to hold life by the antler. Ant, you're trying to grab life by the horns. No, not antlers, huh? Never mind.
But me.
I don't know.
Well,
I
figured
it had to do with something with animals. And again, we're trying to control Gordy. We're trying to control Jean Jacket, which I love that they named it Jean Jacket. I think that ties to M's relationship with the dad because she was very sad. And I think that's part of maybe why she wasn't as attached to the ranch. She wants the ranch to be safe. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she does. Like, she
Angel
does.
Even suggests we can lure the alien Jean Jacket back by just giving it the horses. No, Antler says that. And Angel's like, whoa, they're horse people. Like, they care about their animals. Right, but I think because when she was younger, she was promised the horse Jean Jacket was going to be hers. And she was going to work the horse, train it or whatever. And then the dad goes and sells it off to go be in Hollywood or takes it to some movies and she doesn't get to. So I think that's part of why she went off on her own.
Right. It made me really sad, like, seeing or hearing that story and seeing the disappointment of her, because they make her character to be very like fun loving and she's just like quirky and she says what's on her mind, but like, there is this depth to her and she has gone through a lot of stuff. And I think like her wanting to save the ranch is like her unresolved issues with her father and her family as a whole, really.
Yeah. I think it shows that there's love between them too, as siblings. Right. And they want different things. They might not, they want to go different routes in life. She doesn't want to hang out at the ranch. She wants to make it big as an actress, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But he's down with the ranch and she supports that because she's like, you're my bro. Like, that's your thing. That was Pops' thing, which again ties to her name, Emerald, right? She's following the yellow brick road.
The yellow brick road. To get the
Emerald City. When at one point you hear in the background on the radio something about ruby red slippers when she's waking up or something. So again, Jordan Peele was no fool when he picked that name M. It was meant to be, she's a different type of spectacle. So you think the Emerald, it's this bright, beautiful color. You think about Emerald City, and that's how you like in Wizard of Oz, Dorothy was gonna make it. Once she got to Emerald City, she could get home. For her, making it is making it like big as in either her acting or her other endeavors that she names in the movie that she's trying to achieve.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I love like all the symbolisms. Like there's so much.
Sure we're not even covering all of it. No, there's things that have gone over our head, or we just don't have time to talk about.
And just like I thought like, oh, maybe Angel has some symbolism too. Like he's looking out for them. He didn't have to.
He's their guardian angel.
He's looking after them. Exactly. Like he broke into their camera feed for not just for his own benefit, but I feel like he has a good heart deep down there, even though he's a little goofy.
Yeah.
But in a loving way, in a very loving way.
Yeah.
So drunk Uncle Antlers.
Yeah, let's get back to Antlers, which we never figured out his name.
No, we don't know, but he's going to be the cinematographer of this whole ordeal. And he gives like this wild like pep talk. The way he's talking, I'm just like, dude, you've been hitting that bottle or something. I don't know. He's very peculiar. I love him though. And I love the other characters too, but for some reason he just really stuck with me. I'm like, I think he's my fave.
Really?
Like he's not there for a long time, but he's there for a good time. You know?
I love it.
Yeah.
That was great.
You know, like I don't know why. Like, maybe I'm a drunk uncle at a wedding deep down. Like I think I relate to him. But anyway, so they come up with this whole plan, right? They come up with a plan, they're gonna get it, blah blah blah.
Yeah, because he even comes a clutch because every time that Jean Jacket is around, he disturbs the power and all the power goes out on everything. So he's even got the camera that's a crank camera. And I love that you get that little piece of like the sibling bond because M's like, I told you he was gonna have an all electric camera, and her bro do this like cool, like I don't even know this cool
like a little
handshake that they have. They're like, yeah, let's get it type of thing. Like it's so cute. Like
it was so adorable.
They have those moments, the two of them, like they nitpick at each other, but like the love is there.
Right.
Like they're not boxing each other, like
no.
They're not having drag out fights like some families unfortunately do. Like there's the love is there.
Yeah. I love that for them. So Jean Jacket's pissed. they're big mad. And
because Em fed it that horse with the she fed it a plastic horse with
a plastic horse. Yes. So that he's really pissed because he's like, this isn't a real horse. At least Jupe gave me real alien food here.
Yeah.
So what is it? So Antlers and OJ are outside and M and Angel are inside. Right?
Yeah.
So OJ is like, oh shit. I need to go get Angel and M. Antlers basically sacrifices himself.
Yeah. This is when they get a whole setup, right? Of how they're going to capture the film or either one. They're trying to get either of
Jean Jacket. So, yeah, he sacrifices himself to get the perfect shot. And Gene Jackman.
Oprah shot, mind you. That's what
right.
they're called. So they can make
Oprah
him
shot.
A, they can go on a show like Oprah or somebody important like that.
Right, right. Yeah. So he's like, you know what? I've lived my life. I've been drunk at many a wedding. Jean Jacket, just take me now. He's like, you know, it's not working out on Tinder. I'm done. I lost my job at Circuit City. Just, I'm done. Come and take me. So he sacrifices himself. And OJ is he in Angel's work van, I think? Or no, he's in a pickup truck at first.
His pickup truck that he had, yeah.
And Jean Jacket expels that horse back at OJ. And it goes through the windshield, missing OJ by mere inches.
Yeah.
That was intense. I was like, oh, crap. Is OJ going to get taken out by this horse? So he makes it back to the house. I don't even know how he made it back to the house. And you hear this distorted version of I wear my sunglasses at night.
I love it. Yes.
I was like, this is bomb.com, man.
Yeah. I wear my sunglasses.
I'm going to have it in my head for like the next month.
I love it. Yes.
It is so good.
I was like, yes.
Yes. Yes. So he gets out of the pickup and he's making his way to Angel's work van. And like you see these flashbacks, right? Where he's like, don't look it in the eye. And he's like, don't look it in the eye. He's like yelling at M and Angel. And M is terrified. She's like, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. But Angel, he reassures her and they run across. And I was like, I was literally, even though I already watched this, I was literally like, oh, are they going to make it? Because like, I would have been terrified. Honestly, there's no way I would just be like, just take me with antlers. All right.
No. Yeah. It's just theories as to why antlers. Because I think we're kind of conglomerating right. a couple scenes here. But, like, I think there's theories. I didn't come up with this one on my own. That Antlers was sick because people were saying, like, oh, he's popping pills when they call him.
Yeah.
Maybe he had cancer or something because he was, like, willing to sacrifice himself for the perfect shot. Because at first he's like, there's no such thing as the perfect shot. And then he lets the thing suck him in with the camera and everything. So maybe that's why Drunk Uncle was ready to go.
I think so. You're probably right. I was making very light of the situation because I didn't want to go there, but
yeah,
you're probably right.
I don't know. I didn't come up with, I read that somewhere. I don't, prior to us even considering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The kill of Jean Jacket is, I think it's hilarious because Emerald lures him with this like balloon, like giant balloon of Jupe. He's like, here's your arch nemesis.
Yeah. He's all winking.
He's winking and shit. Yeah. And Jean Jacket really hates Jupe at this point. Like, he's still big mad about about everything. Mad. He really is. Like, Jean Jacket's not putting up with it. But it actually, like, it works. And she's like, whoa. Because the Jean Jacket, like, expands into, like, this more like, abstract form to consume balloon Jupe. And, like, the balloon explodes inside of Jean Jacket. So, Jean Jacket just, like, combusts from the inside, basically.
Yeah.
And then Emerald gets her Oprah shot, man. Like,
she uses the winking well, I think they call it, right? And she's taking the pictures with this old school camera. I don't even know how to explain it, other than you got to watch
it. Yeah.
But she's creative how she's going to catch her Oprah shot.
Yeah. She just goes for it. You know, she put her fear aside. And
we can just see her motorcycle skills at some point. And I love when, like, we don't know if OJ is passed, if he survived, and how he comes through the clouds. It's so cool.
Yeah, he just emerges. It's almost like he's walking through like this dust or whatever, but it's the clouds. And you see him, and you're like, oh, thank goodness he's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, he survives and gets her shot, and you know, Angel. Is Angel.
Yeah. But I love too when, like, because he's all jacked up. I don't remember what happened. We see that move from the beginning of the movie, though, because he can't climb up on the horse.
So
he tells him to get down so that he can just get on him. And I want to do a quick shout out because the actor that plays OJ, again, Daniel Kaluuya, he was not a horse person at all. And when he got the role, he actually contacted the Compton Cowboys, which is a legit group. They're based out of, you know, Compton, California. And they're a group of cowboys and cowgirls. And I think they only have one cow. I think he said like six or seven cowboys and one cowgirl. And they're this group where their whole mission is to provide a positive influence for inner city youth.
Oh, I love that.
And so they train them. And again, I'm just giving the gist. You can go, they have their own website if you want to learn all about the Compton Cowboys. And it's cool because I actually interacted with them when I marched in a parade. I used to teach with a youth group. I don't want to go into details, but we were with a youth group and we marched behind them at the Martin Luther King Jr. Kingdom Day Parade in Los Angeles. And we marched behind them, and really cool group of people. But yeah, that's their whole mission, to provide a positive influence on inner city youth. And he hit them up and he was like, hey, I want you guys to show me like how to ride a horse, how to get on a horse, like horse basics. Again, I don't know horse basics. I just own some cute cowgirl boots because they're cute. I don't actually ride horses or live on a ranch or farm. I live in the burbs. I just thought it was really cool that he did that. That's how serious he took the role, that he was like, yeah, let me hit up this group. And shout out to the Compton Cowboys. I think that's cool that they're doing great things for kids out there. So
that is so amazing. I love that he did that. So that brings, that's the gist of the movie. But I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So would you rather, this is a would you rather.
Okay? Oh no.
Would you rather encounter Jean Jacket, the goblins from Nilbog, or Krampus?
I think Jean Jacket, because I think Krampus is too vicious and relentless. He picks off people one by one.
Yeah.
The goblins, they're weird and ugly. I guess I'd know how to escape them, probably. I feel like Jean Jacket, you could just kind of try to lay low and hang out. And like, I would assume their house seems like the kind of house that had a basement or something. I would just get underground and chill and like with the lights off and hope like, and stop feeding it and hope it would leave, because I would think like eventually the buffet of it, all the food it ate would wear off and it'd have to go somewhere else, because it was somewhere else before it came there. Right. It just chilled for 6 months because it was getting a meal every 6 months, every week.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think Jean Jacket. Yeah. I don't want to encounter Jean Jacket. Oh my God, that reminds me of a story.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. So my dad was in the service. He was in the military. And when he was serving in the military back in his day, when he was in Vietnam, he had a job, or one of his jobs is literally just to sit there and stare at like a radar screen. And he said, he keeps seeing something going like this. Like and people can't see me unless you're on YouTube, but the thing was just going back and forth. Okay. He saw something going back and forth and up and down. So he's like, what is this? Like helicopter. It wasn't a helicopter. Like they didn't have the same. He couldn't figure out what it was. They didn't have any sort of aircraft that could do that at the time. And he calls like whoever, the person above him. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. Like you told me to report, things aren't anything that comes onto the airspace. I'm seeing something. It's going back and forth. It's floating back and forth slowly. And it, while it's float, it'll go up and down. We don't have anything that could do that.
Right.
He's like, it's above your pay grade. Don't worry about it. And he's like, okay. So he never thought anything about it. And he said every few weeks, they'd see the same thing for about 20 minutes up to an hour, and then it would disappear again. He said, well, later, like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, he's watching like some history channel, military channel, and they're like declassified information that they were testing the Harrier at the time, which is an aircraft that can do that. It can hover, it can just lift up and go, and you, it can do that. There's very few aircraft. And he was like, when he found out where they're he's like, oh, and they were testing it at this time in this place of the world. My dad's like, that's what I saw. Well, there goes my alien story, because he's like, I'm pretty sure I must have seen alien aircraft. So my dad didn't see alien aircraft. Thankfully, it wasn't Jean Jacket, though.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Poor dad.
He thought it was a fun story, because he's like, I'm pretty sure I saw aliens, guys, but they didn't do anything. They didn't probe me or nothing.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, favorite quotes? Did you get to write just anything down?
Nope. I just love that they, I would love to know how many times they said nope, because that's one of my favorite, it's been my favorite things to say. I'll say nope, nobody nope. Even my son will go around, nobody nope. Like if I say it, I say nope to everything. The fact that like there's so many times they say nope, like me and Paul say it all the time, like unrelated to things. Like one time we're camping and like we go out, he goes to take out the trash from our trailer and he looks out, he's like, I saw six pairs of eyes. I think there's some coyotes. He slams the door, he's on nope, like nope.
Oh my gosh. Nope, nope.
Yeah, so that. I wanted to ask you if you found the scene with the little boys and the aliens when we didn't know that they were the little boys. That scared the crap out of me. And I was like, oh my God, what are those things? And then I laughed when he hit them. Well, I mean, they didn't deserve to get hit, but it was hilarious. All the kids are like, don't mess with Jupiter's claim, because they're pissed off, of course, being stolen. And
you know,
And the way that even Em is like, where'd you get yours? That whole scene is the best comedic. That's my favorite comedic scene.
Yes.
When she's trying to play off that she stole the horse and
I know.
Across the field. And even Angel's like trying to like get involved. They're like, be quiet. You ain't part of this.
I know. She
so those are my favorite scenes.
She improvised a lot of that.
I don't doubt it.
She's amazing. I have one that I really loved, and it's so like potty humor. I'm such a dork.
Go for it.
But Angel says, they're just waiting for the perfect time to shove metal probes up our asses. And OJ's like, cool. Like he I don't know. It made me laugh so hard.
He's just looking at him like, okay.
Like OJ, like he's so emotional inside, but on the outside, he's just like, nah, like he's very slow moving cowboy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it made me laugh. Like he really embodied that character, Daniel did. So yeah, that made me laugh so hard. And also Emerald, while OJ's running, she's like, run OJ, run.
Yeah, that's right. That is it. See, another throwback to the name. And you know she's wearing green and he's wearing orange.
Yes.
Their names.
I love it. I love it.
Love it.
It's
so
good.
Many little things like that, like interpretations and things to catch, and
I mean, we could probably spend another 3 hours talking about this, like all the little nuances and things.
Oh
like,
yeah,
there's so many. But I love this movie. I think it's really good. I know, like, either people really really like it or they don't like it, because I guess they don't see the depth of it, maybe, or maybe it's just not their jam.
I thought it was gonna suck, to be honest. Like when I first watched it, because we were like, oh, it's finally streaming, like, okay, well, let's check it out. And I thought it was gonna be terrible, because the trailer, like, it made it almost seem like it was like a terrible comedy.
And
I was just like, what is this gonna be? Like, you couldn't quite figure it out. Which once I watched it, I was like, whoa, this is really good. So I think a lot of people don't go into it with like a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it's a great movie when I think about it later. Like at night, I'm still thinking about it. And days later, I'm still thinking about it. And I think initially, after I watched it the first time, I found myself reading things and listening to interviews. And this is before I'd even started the podcast. So it's so good. I highly recommend people watch it.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to share?
No, I think that's it. Otherwise, we won't ever end this podcast. I don't think it's time I have nothing to say.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nobody knows.
So, okay. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. If you enjoyed listening, the best way to support the show is by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. That really helps us grow and for people to discover the show. You can also follow us on Instagram, Dreadful Dialogue Podcast, and visit our website, dreadfuldialoguepodcast.com. If you'd like to support the podcast even further, you can donate to our Buy Me a Coffee Fund. Your support helps keep the show going and means so much to us. And most importantly, thank you so much for tuning in for
Nope. 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 I think our website's dreadfuldialogue.com. She said podcast. It's okay. It's a lot to remember off the top of your head, girl.
I'm trying.
It was a long episode.
It was.
All right, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, that our dialogue wasn't too dreadful for you. And with that,
have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Don't look at it in the eyes.
Keep your heads out of the clouds.